Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin, Daf Mem Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Mem Dalad, Amud Aleph, at the second line, Tanur Rabbanan Gava B'Chayvay. As we had discussed in the previous shiur, at the end of the shiur, the Mishnah discussed, first the Mishnah taught us the halacha that if somebody sells his Eved into a guy, or sells his Eved to leave Eretz Yisrael, the Eved goes free. And then the Mishnah, the Gemara we learned at the end of the previous year discussed what is the halacha if one puts up his Eved Kanani as collateral for a debt that he owes to a guy, at what point is that considered like he sold the Eved to a guy that the din of the Mishnah would apply. Our Gemara continues to discuss what constitutes a situation that one has given his Eved Kanani to a guy that the din of the Mishnah is to apply. So says the Braisa Tanur Rabbanan, Govoi b'choivoi, if a guy collected an Eved Kanani forcibly as payment for a choiv that's due to him, or shalachu sakrikim, or people who are dangerous people took the Eved Kanani from the Jew, in these situations, the halacha is lo yotz l'cheres. Since the Jew did not in any way voluntarily give up the Eved, it's not considered as if he gave the Eved to a guy, and the Eved does not go free. Ask the Gemara, ubechoy v'loy, if a Jew gave up his Eved as payment for a debt, the halacha is that the Eved doesn't go out free. Ramini, it says in a brisa, Hareish onsoi beis hamelach garnoi, if the king, the government, took away a Jew's warehouse of produce, im bechayvoi, if it was taken away to collect a debt that the person owes to the king, daloch is chayv laaser, the Jew has to take meiser from what was taken from him. Bim bam poros, but if it was taken in a manner that causes loss to the Jew, as the Rishonim explained, Pyrus means that it was just extorted, so to speak, from him, Potelaser, he doesn't have to give off Maisa from it. Here we see that if something is taken from a Jew as payment for his debt, it's viewed as if it has been sold. The first Brisa that we quoted in today's shiur seems to indicate that if something was taken in debt, it isn't considered as if he's used for payment. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassan, in the case of the produce that was confiscated, Kamashtar Shalei, the Jew profited by that amount, if he would have to give that amount, by giving the total amount that went to payment, had it not been seized, the Jew would have to take off Meiser, and therefore, he's profiting by the confiscation, and therefore, it's considered as if he benefited from Meiser, and therefore he has to repay that amount. The Mefarshim ask, how can we suggest that he's mechuyif to take off Meiser on produce that's no longer in his control? The government took the produce. So many Mefarshim explain what the Gemara here means is that he has to take off Meiser, he has to somehow try to take off the Meiser before the government actually confiscates the produce. The Chazon Ish says that actually the question is an excellent question, and what the Gemara means is that if somebody's going to want to eat that produce, he has to make sure that Meiser is removed from that produce. The Rav Shach in Davi Ezri says somewhat of a different teretz. He says really the obligation for Meiser really doesn't exist here because it's no longer in his control. However, this is a knas. This is a special din that Chazal imposed on him. And because it's a special din that Chazal imposed on him, whatever he does, taking off Meiser, even from produce that's no longer under his control is going to be considered satisfactory. Toshma. So the Gemara asks, here we learned in the first Braisa that if a Eved Kanani is taken forcibly, it's considered that he did not, as if he did not sell the Eved Kanani. But as the Gemara Toshma, it says in a Braisa, Damarav, if somebody sells a slave to a non-Jewish black miler, Yotzel Cheres, so we see that using the Eved Kanani as debt does free the Eved Kanani. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, in the case that we're quoting now in this Braisa, Havle Lefayis, he was able to appease the black mailer with some other property, Vlipius, and he didn't. That's why it's considered as if he sold the Eved Kanani. However, in the first case that we learned today, the first Braisa, there was no other option but to give the Eved Kanani. The person taking him was not prepared to accept anything else. Another pshat that the Mefarshim distinguished between the two cases is that in the first Braisa that we discussed in today's shir, it was a shayla of pikuach nefesh, so if he wouldn't take care of it. So it's a konus nefashis, the halach is just give away to Eved, don't start to make all sorts of calculations. Here, it wasn't a situation of pikuach nefashis, and therefore he should have given something else instead of the Eved Kanani. Another pshat that I saw is that how much it takes to satisfy the goy. In the first braisa, maybe the goy could have been satisfied, but it would have been extremely expensive to satisfy him, and that's why the halacha doesn't require it. In this case, as the wording of the Gemara seems to indicate, it wouldn't have taken a lot to satisfy the goy, to appease him, and therefore he should not have let the Eved Kanani go. Gufa, the Gemara sort of repeats itself. Amar Rav, Hamoicha Avdei Lefarag Oyim Kachavim, if somebody sells his Eved Kanani to this Oyim Kachavim who's a faring, Yotzel Cheres. Ask the Gemara, my Havalei Lemevet, what should the person have done? He was being blackmailed. It says the Gemara, Havalei Lefayis, he could have appeased him, and V'loi Pia, since he didn't, that's why he's as if he sold the Eved Kanani. Farshim point out that many times, including this time that we're learning now in the Gemara, we see that the Gemara seems to repeat itself. And what is the point of the Gemara just repeating itself? So I saw that Mefarshim explain that sometimes the Gemara repeats itself to show and emphasize how it means what it's saying, that this is the din, that this is the correct pshat. We learned in the previous Gemara about a situation where something was given over to the government. Is there a chiv meiser on the item that was taken by the government or not? Which I saw is the subject of a halachic discussion. Rav Moshe discusses it in the Gris Moshe. It's discussed in the Miches Yitzchak. We know that a person is supposed to give meiser. A person is supposed to give 10% of his income to tzedakah. The question is money that's used to pay off taxes considered income which a person has to give meiser from or not? The Miches Yitzchak seems to say that taxes are always deducted and are not considered one's income. Rav Moshe makes a very interesting distinction. He says income tax somebody pays on his income, whether it's his salary or different profit, since a person has to give off that portion as taxes, that's not considered earned money. But if a person pays sales tax, he earned a certain amount of money, and he pays sales tax, from sales tax or other such taxes are not considered a deduction from income from which one would be mechuyev to, a person has to give meiser on all of his income, and he cannot consider the tax, sales tax, as a deduction from the income to be used when one calculates what is his income for meiser purposes. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, "Machra l'shloishim yoyim mahu? What will be the halacha if somebody sold his Eved Kanani to a guy, but he only sold him for 30 days, does he have to free him or not? Is the din of our Mishnah only when it was done permanently? Toshma, Damarav, Hamoicha Avdoi, Lefaring Anav Kachavim. Mar attempts to bring a proof from the Brisa we just learned, where somebody sold his guy to this non-Jewish blackmailer, which we learned, Yotz L'Cheiris. And the Gemara seems to learn that it's not that this Farhung would take the guy on a permanent basis, it was only temporarily. And yet, the Gemara is saying, it's still considered as if the Eved Kanani was sold to a guy, that the guy is released. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, the case of the Braisa, is referring to Parung Oiv Gechavim She'en Echazeres, that it's a permanent situation. And since it's a permanent situation, that's why he maybe it's considered like he sold. But it could well be that if it was temporary, it would be different. There's a fundamental shaila in the Mefarshim as we get into this, into these sugyas. All the cases that we're going to learn, these unique types of sales. Does the Gemara mean, and when it asks these questions about l'chatchila, does the Gemara mean to ask l'chatchila, are you allowed to sell a goy, I have a kanani to a goy under these circumstances? That's the way the Chasam Sofer seems to learn the Gemara. The Marit, however, says that of course, if we're learning that we're not allowed to sell an ever kanani to a goy, it's certainly l'chatchila under any circumstances not permitted. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where Eved Kanani was sold under one of these circumstances, and the Gemara's question is it considered as if he was sold to a guy that he's freed or not? And the next question of the Gemara is Machroi Chutz Malachdoi. He sold the Eved Kanani with a clear stipulation that the Eved Kanani is not going to work for him, that the entire purpose of this guy buying the Eved Kanani is that the Eved Kanani should live with this guy Shifcha Kananis, and that they should have children. Chutz min ha-mitzvah ismahu. Or he sold him with a clear stipulation that he would be allowed to continue performing mitzvahs. Because the entire reason why an Eved Kanani should not be sold to a guy is because we want him to be able to continue performing mitzvahs. And here there was a clear stipulation that he'd be able to continue performing mitzvahs. And as the Mefarshim explain the Gemara's question, are we concerned that even though such a stipulation was made, the goy will not follow the stipulation? Or another way the Mefarshim explain, are we to be concerned that the goy will, are we to be concerned that the living in the goy's environment, even if the guy allows the Jew, the Eved Kanani, to do mitzvahs, it's not a healthy environment. And therefore, the Gemara's question is the Eved Kanani freed or not? Similarly, Chutz Mishabosu to Yom Tov Mahu. As the Mefarshim explained, the main concern Chazal had in prohibiting the sale of an Eved Kanani to a guy was because the Torah goes out of its way in telling us, L'man yenuach avdecha v'amoscha. The Torah tells us that on Shabbos, that Eved Kanani, Shifcha Kananis, are not allowed to work. And therefore the Gemara's question here is, what will be the din if he sold him with a stipulation that he will not have to work on Shabbos and Yontif? So I saw a beautiful vart from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer points out, the Gemara seems to say that, as we just explained, our main concern in selling an Eved Kanani is that the Eved Kanani should not be Mechal Shabbos. But, says the Chasam Sofer, we see also from the Mishnah that we just quoted in our introductory remarks, Chazal were also concerned that the Eved Kanani should not be sold outside of Eretz Yisrael. Points out the Chasam Sofer, from here we see what are the two fundamental mitzvahs that Chazal were concerned about. They were concerned about Shabbos and Yom Tov, and they were concerned that an Eved Kanani should remain in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Chasam Sofer points out, these are the two mitzvahs that keep a Jew following the Derech Hashem. Another question. Lager Toshev. We know a Ger Toshev is a Ger who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who accepted upon himself the Zion mitzvahs v'nei noyach. What would be the halacha if somebody sold an Eved Kanani to such an individual? And as the Mefarshim explained, part of the Ger Toshev's accepting upon himself the mitzvahs of Zion mitzvahs is that he accepted upon himself lifnei iver leisita michshol, to make sure that somebody doesn't transgress something that he's not allowed to. And therefore, even though the owner is a non-Jew, but he's going to make sure that the Eved Kanani, who is now his slave, should continue to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs that he's obligated to. Lisra momer mahu. What's the din if he sells them to an apikaris, to Yisrael's a mumer? So I sort of mafarshim explain what is the question regarding Yisrael mumer. So the simple way of explaining the Gemara's question is that the Mishnah says, the din of the Mishnah is when the Eved Kanani was sold to a goy. This person is not a goy. He's a Yisrael Mumer, but he's not a goy. That's one way of explaining. Another way I saw that the Mefarshim explain is that since we learned earlier in our perek, when one sells an Eved Kanani to a goy, the ownership of a Jew over an Eved Kanani is not similar to the ownership of a goy to Eved Kanani. A goy can never own the actual guf of the Eved Kanani. And therefore, we have this concern. A Yisrael Mumer, who is a Jew, now becomes the full-fledged owner of this Eved Kanani. And since he becomes the full-fledged owner of the Eved Kanani, it doesn't make a difference if his home is a religious home or not. Lakuti, if he sold it to the Kutim, Al-Gamar obviously considers the Kutim as Gary Emmis, but since they don't follow, they're not meticulous in following the dinim of the Torah, what will be the halacha? Says the Gemara, Pshayt Miyachada. One of the questions we just learned could be answered. Because the Braisa says, Ger Toshev, Harei Kav Kachavim. So the Braisa clearly says that he's considered like an Oiv Kachavim. Kuti v'Yisrael Mumer. What about if Eved Kanani was sold to Kuti or Yisrael Mumer? Amrilay, some say Kaiv Kechavim, his status as if he was sold to Kaiv Kechavim. Vamrilay, and others say the status is as if he was sold to Yisrael to Yisrael. Boimenei Mirav Ami. So they asked Rav Ami the following question. Evet Shehippel Atzma Legaisis. If a Evet Kanani gave himself up to non-Jewish bandits, the Ein Rabbi Yochalai Tziyai, and there is no way for the owner to remove him. Loi Bedina Yisrael, not through Jewish court. The Loi Bedina Eved Kechavim, not through non-Jewish court. Ma Shitlos Domov. So now this Eved Kanani is in non-Jewish hands. May the Jew at least collect the money. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara's question is, if we're going to allow the Jew to collect the money under these circumstances, it may come to a situation where a Jew outrightly sells his Eved Kanani to a goy. Or maybe, say the Rishonim, the Gemara's question is, that by the Jew taking the money, it's more of an act of sale, and therefore it should be usur. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rav Zeikah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah told Rav Zeikah, puk ayin b'mechilteich. Go look in your mechilteich. The Rishonim explained that a mechilta was some sort of a compendium of halachas that they used to refer to when they had a question. Nofak tach v'ashkach. So he went and looked. The Tanya the Braisa says, Hamoicha beisul ev dekachavim. If somebody sells his house and Eretz Yisrael to a goy. This is what the Rishonim explained, that our Gemara is referring to a situation that the Torah says, loisachonim, that one is not allowed to sell his home to a non-Jew, an Eretz Yisrael, and here this person sold his home to a non-Jew. Although the Kaft of Aferech does teach us that there are certain exceptions to this rule. One exception to the rule, the Kaft of Aferech, is that if somebody is living in a city that is all inhabited by non-Jews, the halacha is he could sell that home to a goy, because it's difficult to live in such an environment. Another pshat, another heter, is if a Jew is desperate for income and he can't find a customer, a Jewish customer for his home, according to the kafta of a ferach, he would be allowed to sell it under such circumstances to a non-Jew. So amaycha beis lefti kachavim. The halacha is damav asurim. If he did sell it without the exceptions that we just learned, or as some paiskim that in fact want to suggest that our Gemara seems to indicate not like the kafta of a ferach, because our Gemara seems to indicate you just can't sell your house to non-Jew under any circumstances, your house in Eretz Yisrael, the loch is the damav asurim, you're not allowed to have any benefit from that money. But if a guy sees the Jew's house, and there's no way that the Jew could get his home back, not Jewish court, not a non-Jewish court, he can take the money, and he writes, and he can even write the deed over in non-Jewish court, because he's at least getting his money back. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand the case of a malabar koshelhen. Rashi says that even though normally one may not go to their court, here he's allowed to go to their court. Tosfos says we learned earlier in our Masechta that a Jew is allowed to go have a deed registered in his not in his in non-Jewish court. So Tosfos therefore says what the Gemara here means to say is that maybe by going to court and having the deed registered, it shows that you really want to sell the house to a non-Jew. That's what the Braisa says. That's not the way, and that's not the way to understand. And it's mutter. So Mefarshim, the Chasam Sofer, tries to explain Rashi, because we did learn the Gemara quite clearly that the halacha is that you're allowed to have a deed registered in court. So why would Rashi suggest that it should be usur? So the Chasam Sofer gives two explanations. One explanation is that when is a Jew allowed to have his home registered in court, in non-Jewish court, where the rule is that all transactions must be duly registered. So the Jew having it registered doesn't show any respect to the court. Here we're referring to a case where it didn't have to be registered in court. By going to have it registered in court, that shows special respect to the court that we would think is osur. That's why the Braisa says it's mutter. Another way that Chasam Sofer explains the opinion of Rashi is that Rashi, that since, as we explained, the Torah goes out of its way in saying loy sichone, we're not allowed to have non-Jews have ownership of homes in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we have to be stricter regarding this rule. And even though normally one can have a deed registered in court, here not. That's why the Braisa has to teach us that he may. So we see, again, from these cases, taking money for property that was seized is permitted. How, and that will be the same with the guy who was seized by the non-Jewish bandits. So the Gemara, the comparison is not identical. For Dilma, Hani Mili Bayis, maybe by home, the Kima Deloy Sagale Beloy Bayis, everybody needs somewhere to live. Therefore, Loy Osel is Bune. We're not concerned that somebody's going to sell his home, and therefore, there's no reason to make Exera. Aval Avda, but regarding Avodim Kananim, the Sagale Beloy Avda, people can live without Avodim Kananim, Osel is Bune. We have to be concerned that if we're going to allow him to take money under these circumstances, he may come to sell his Eved Kanani intentionally to Goyim. Maybe it's different. Or maybe, just like by the Goy, we're allowed to take money here too. Sholach le'Rav Ami, Minei Ami Barnosin, for me, Ami Barnosin, comes out the following, Tayri Yotzel Chal Yisrael, the following rule comes out. Eved Shehippel Atzma Lagaisois, Vein Rabbi Yochel Haitzioi, Loi Bedine Yisrael, Loi Bedine Akum, Mutal Litel Astomov, he's allowed to take money, the Kaisav, Mal Bakosh, love to come and he can have this registered, Neshukmatzo Miyoda. It's interesting that I saw a tshuva from the Shals of Tshuva's Betzel HaChochma, where this type of a question came up after World War II. There was a community where the non-Jews had appropriated the synagogue, the shul, in the community for themselves. And when the Jews returned after the war, they wanted to get back their shul. And the Goyim refused to give them the shul back under any circumstances. But they were willing to pay for the shul. That the Poskim say, the Betzel HaChochma says there, that one could take money for that. One could take, the Jews were allowed to take the money for that because Kamatzel Miyodam. Amr Bishub and Levi, Hamaycha Avdol Oiv Kechavim. If somebody sells his Ever Kanani to a guy, Kainzunaisa Admei Bedamav, we fine him 100 times the value. Machlokes Rishonim, how do we assess this fine? If some say we assess it 100 times the amount of money he received. Others say the way it's assessed, we assess the Eved 100 times what the Eved is currently worth. And yet another interesting pshat that I saw from the Rishonim, some Rishonim want to suggest, that the way we assess here is, let's say, whatever number we're going to begin learning that as sugya, how much is the fine, 100 times, 10 times, and let's say the person is willing to pay that amount to free the Eved Kanani, but the buyer, the non-Jewish buyer, is not willing under any circumstances to give up the Eved Kanani. So when the Gemara speaks about a fine, whatever the fine is, 100 times, 10 times, the halacha is that he doesn't save that money if the guy is refusing to take the money. Rather, the halacha is that he has to then give that money to tzedakah purposes. So says the Gemara, that Hamaycha Avdol Oiv Kechavim, if somebody sells his Eved Kanani to a guy, the Kanas is that he has to redeem him at 100 times the value. Ask the Gemara, Dafka Olav Dafka. When it's said 100 times, does it really mean 100 times? Toshma, Domerish Lakish, Hamaycha Behema Gas Oiv Kechavim, if somebody sells a Behema Gas to a guy, the Loch is one's not allowed to sell a Behema Gas to a guy. The reason Chazal made this gezeira, one reason the Gemara says is because if we're allowed to sell these animals to a guy, we may come to lend them or rent them to the guy, and there the halach is that an animal owned by a Jew may not do any work on Shabbos. Or another concern is that a Jew might sell a loaded animal to a guy right before Shabbos, and in order to show the animal's ability, the Jew will cause the animal to walk to him when it's Shabbos carrying this load, which is an Isser Mechamer. So the Braisa says, Hamoicha Behema Gas Loiv Kechavim, Kainzunai Soi Arasor B'Dameho, he has to redeem him 10 times the value. So here we see that one place it says 100 and here it says only 10. So maybe when it said 100, we should say that it really didn't mean 100. It says the Gemara, Dilma Shani Eved, we can't bring a raya from one to the Eved. Because by an Eved, every day that the Eved Kanani is in a non-Jewish home, he's excluded from doing mitzvahs. However, when one sells a goy, an animal to the goy, as the Mefarshim explained, the Aveir is only done at one moment, at the moment of sale, but it's not continuously a situation of Aveira, and therefore the two situations are not similar. Vikad Amri, another version, Amr Bishum and Levi, Hamoicha Avdolev Kachavim, somebody sells his Eved Kanani to a guy, Kainzunai Sayed Asar B'Domov, we fine him 10 times the value. So now the question is, Dafka or Lav Dafka? Does 10 mean 10 or not? So Mefarash should make an observation. Before, when we said that if you sell an Eved Kanani 100 times, we said maybe it doesn't really mean 100. And here when we said 10, We say maybe it doesn't mean 10. So what? How does the Gemara look at it? So Farshim explained. When the Gemara said the number 100, 100 times, the number 100 is used many times in Shas as a guzma, an exaggeration. And that's why the Gemara's question was, maybe the 100 is not 100. However, here, when it says 10, here we know 10 is a legitimate number. But the Gemara's question is not because 10 is not a number that makes sense. But rather, the Gemara's question is, because Toshma, Domre Shlokish, Hamoich Behem Gaslav Kachavim, it says, the Kainzun said, maybe Domel. So why here only 10? Says the Gemara, Shani Eved Deloy Hadaloy. By an Eved Kanani, as we learned, if somebody sells him to a guy, not only must he redeem him, but he doesn't get him back. On the other hand, by the animal that's sold, he's going to get the animal back. So therefore, the circumstances are not similar. El Bahaim Tamimai. So we're saying, why would we differentiate between an animal and an Eved Kanani? Mishum de Hadrile, because the animal will come back to him. So fine, says the Gemara. So that should only differentiate by one. So if by Eved Kanani it's 10, by an Eved, by Behema it should be 11. Look to say Tvechad, one more, 11. How do we have the discrepancy between 10 and 100? Says the Gemara. El Eved Milsa Lo Shchicha. Selling an Eved Kanani is not that common, and therefore, Milsa Lo Shchicha Legos Be Rabbonin. But that's not the same as selling animals, which is certainly much more common, and perhaps therefore Chazal had to be stricter. Says the Gemara. Before we go further, this Gemara that we just learned is used to explain a pasuk that's discussed in Masechet Megillah. The pasuk teaches us that when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so Yosef, the Gemara says that to each one of the brothers he gave a suit of clothing. To Yosef he gave 5 suits. And he gave Yosef 300 kesef, 300 silver coins. And the Gemara points out why Yosef knew what it means treating some people different than other people. So how did Yosef come to do the same thing? So the Gemara said, so the Mefarshim explained, Yosef knew that the value of an Eved, as we discussed in the previous year, is 30 kesef. That's why if in Shuar Mu'ud kills an Eved, we learned that Knas is 30 kesef. Yosef was sold as an Eved. So he was worth, our Gemara says you're supposed to redeem him 10 times his value, 300 kesef. So all the other brothers who had participated in the sale of Yosef should have spent 300 kesef each to redeem the Eved, Yosef, the Eved they sold to the Goyim. Binyamin, whoever did not participate, therefore he was entitled to the 300 kesef because he didn't have to participate in the redemption of Yosef because he didn't participate in the sale of Yosef. And the Farshim point out, now we could understand the Gemara better, the Gemara Masechet Megillah. Because the Gemara Masechet Megillah only questions the issue of the suits. Why Binyamin got these 5 suits and the other brothers didn't. The Gemara says because he wanted to remind him of Mordechai HaTzadik, who was a descendant of Binyamin, who went out with 5 types of clothing as Megillah Esther teaches us. Why doesn't the Gemara ask the Mefarshim speak about the discrepancy of the cash that Yosef gave Binyamin 300 kesef and the other brothers got nothing? Because on the kesef, as we just explained, there is no question. Somebody sold his Eved and then he passes away. Does the son have to now go and redeem this Eved? And perhaps we'll try to bring a raya from the following Gemara. The Gemara says the halacha is that a bechor, the firstborn animal, belongs to the kohen. The kohen is supposed to take that animal to the Beis HaMikdash and bring him up basically like a korban shlamim. That's if the animal is not a baal mum. If the animal is a baal mum, the halacha is that the animal is kept by the Kohen, and he could eat it like a regular animal. If a Kohen intentionally blemishes a Bechor, Chazal punished him that he's not allowed to shech that Bechor because of that mum. So Imtim Tzoloima, Tzorim Oizim Bechor V'meis. If somebody who nicked the ear of a Bechor and then the Kohen passed away, Konsabanoi Achrov, that Chazal said that the son may also not benefit from that animal. Is that the reason? Shum desur deraisahu, because doing such an action of tzorim oizen bechor is an issa deraisa. Aval hocha, by selling an eved kanani, it's only issur drabonim, and therefore it's not as strict, and maybe the son should not be penalized. Vimtim tzoloima, kim malachtoi b'moyed. The halacha is we're not allowed to do melacha chol moed, only a davar ovid. But even if something is a davar ovid, if somebody intentionally set up a situation that he could have done the melacha before chol moed, and he waited till chol moed, and now he says it's chol moed, now he says it's a davar ovid, that's not permitted. Or the halacha is that if he began doing work before yontif, and if you don't complete during the work, it's a dover of it, you're allowed to do it in Chol Moed. But that too is only permitted if when you began the work, you intended to complete all of the work before Chol Moed. And now, something came up that you didn't. But if you planned out that you're going to start before Yontif, and now say, I have to finish, because otherwise it's a dover of it, that is certainly awesome. So, Vimtim Tzoloimer, Kivim Malach Deber Moed, if somebody planned to do work on Chol Moed or Meis, and then he dies before doing the work on Yontif, their halach is leKonsu B'noy Achrav, that his son may do that Dover Over on Yontif Chol Moed. There it's a situation Mishum D'loy Over Esura, although the father clearly did the wrong thing by planning to do the work on Chol Moed, the son didn't do anything wrong. Hacha here, Mai, where the slave was already sold to the Ovid Kechavim. Do we say L'didei Kansu Rabbanan only to the father that they Kansa that he has to buy back the slave for a less say, but the father is no longer here. Adema L'mamayne Kansu Rabbanan V'isei. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that this Ovid Kanani certainly will never come back to work for this family. What the Gemara's question here is, does the son have to take money out of his pocket to redeem the slave? Amalei, Tenesua. We learned in the following Mishnah, Sadash Neskafts B'Shvias, and we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explains, a field that was cleared of thorns on Shvias. And Rashi explains that the thorns are not connected to the ground, and therefore there is no issur d'oraisa involved here. The halacha is tizora l'matzoi shvius. It may be planted a matzoi shvius. Chazal didn't penalize the owner. However, it was netaiva on the daira. It was fertilized through the farmer directly fertilizing it, or by taking animals through it. Here too, Rashi seems to learn that this is a situation of a derabbanon, but it's a melacha chashuva. It's a significant act. Here, loy tizara l'matzah shviyas, one cannot work this field matzah shviyas. Vam Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, naktina, the halach is haitiva. If somebody fertilized the field during the shmita year umeis, but noizera, his son could work in that field right after shmita. Alma, so from here again we see l'didei kansu rabbanon, only the person who did the aveira that Chazal punish, lebrei lo kansu rabbanon, but not to his son. Similarly, should be again in our case. Ask Tosfos, how can we compare the two situations regarding, as we just explained, especially according to Rashi, where there it's not issa d'oraisa. person did a melacha d'rabbanan during the Shemitah year. Here, by selling the Eved, we're creating a situation that this Eved, who's obligated to do mitzvahs, will not be able to do mitzvahs. So how can we compare the two situations? Answers Tosfos. Since typically people are lax in the fulfillment of mitzvahs Shemitah, the Gemara assumed that whatever will be the rule regarding Shemitah, Chazal were very strict regarding Gezeiros because of that regarding Shemitah, and Chazal compared the two situations. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Naktinan, Timet Teresh al Chaver v'meis. If somebody made his friend's items which are tor tomei, and then he passes away, but Kansar Rabbanan Akrov, the halacha is that this is a hezek shein nikar. It's a non-noticeable hezek, and the halacha is that his son does not have to pay for these damages. If the father were alive, midrabbanan, he would have to pay for the damages. But here the son is alive, this father is no longer alive, like Kansar Bar Akrov. My tama. Because hezek shein nikar, lo shmei hezek. It's not considered a hezek. The knosso drabbanan he. The whole point, so midaraisa, he shouldn't have to pay. The entire obligation is only midrabbanan, and lididei kinsur rabbanan, only the person who he himself did the avera, that Chazal penalized, lebrei lekonsur rabbanan, but not to the children. So the mefarshim ask, if hezek she'en a nikar, lo shmei hezek, it's only the rabbanan, so of course, based on all the gemaras that we've just learned, the halacha should be that the son should not be penalized. Why does the Gemara have to teach us this? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because the Gemara is trying to teach us this actual din, that hezek she'en a nikar lo yishmei hezek. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that this case regarding the hezek she'en a nikar, unlike all the other cases that we discussed, are situations that aren't only ben odom lechaveroi, but there are situations, but there aren't only situations but Adam Lamakon, there are situations but Adam Lechaveroi. And perhaps we ought to be stricter in situations of Ben Adam Lechaveroi than Ben Adam Lamakon. That's why the Gemara had to teach us that here too, the halach is that we do not penalize the son. It's interesting to note that the Noi Deb Yehuda says, even though we've mentioned all of these cases where children are not penalized with their fathers, with their parents' avera, there is one situation that Noi Deb Yehuda wants to suggest that there will be a penalty. The halacha is chometz ovel of a Pesach is osur. One may not benefit from chometz that one had over Pesach. Say the Paiskim that if somebody owned chometz over Pesach, and then that says the Noi Deb Yehuda, and then that person passed away, that so his son, his children who did not violate the Isser of owning chametz on Pesach still will be penalized, that chametz will be considered chametz oval of a Pesach that they may not have any benefit from. Says the Gemara, Oy Chutzlaretz. The Mishnah taught us that if one sells his Eved Kanani to Chutzlaretz, he has to be freed. Tanabon. If somebody sells his Eved Kanani to Chutz Laretz, Yotz L'Cheres, he goes free, but Tzarech gets Shichur from Rabbi Sheni. He has to get a Gat Shichur from his second owner. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Pamim Yotza, Pamim Lo Yotza. It matters. Ketzer. Am a Ploini Avdi Mechartiv L'Ploini Antuchi. If somebody says, I sold this Eved to this person from Antuchi, Lo Yotza. Because just because he calls the person that he's from Antuchi doesn't mean that he meant to sell the Eved to leave Eretz Yisrael. Antuchi shem Antuchio, but if he mentioned that not only is the person a person from Chutz Laretz, but he's living in Chutz Laretz, Yotza. So the Meiri asks, what's the difference what it says in the Shtar? We should see, where is this person intending to take him? So the Meiri says that our Gemara is referring to a situation where we don't know. If it's obvious what the terms of the sale were, then the wording of the shtar is not going to make a difference. It's only when there's some ambiguity that we follow the wording of the shtar. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, Mechati l'antuchi, if he just said the words antuchi, yotza, only if he sell antuchi ashuri belud, we clearly indicated that this person lives in Eretz Yisrael, that's when la yotza. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha. Hada islay beis of Eretz Yisrael. The first brisa referred to an antuchi who owns a house in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, if Shimon did not penalize him, that the Eved Kanani has to be freed. Had Islay Shbiz Beretz Yisrael, where he only had a temporary home in Eretz Yisrael, so it's obvious that he's being sold with the intent of leaving Eretz Yisrael, that's when he has to be freed. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ben Belvel Shenasi Isha Beretz Yisrael, somebody's from Chutz La'aretz married a woman in Eretz Yisrael, V'chnis Lo Yavodim Shvachas, and she brings into the marriage as Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel mean that these assets will go back to the wife no matter what is their value after the marriage. Without the lachzer. And this person intends to go to Chutz La'aretz. Mahu. What is the status of the Eved Kananim? Teboi l'mando amadini ma. It's a question. Whenever there is a divorce, who is entitled to the Tzoyim Barzel? Both according to the opinion that says that the woman gets the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, and Teboi l'mando amadini ma, according to the mando amad, that he gets the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel and just has to give his wife the value. Teboi l'mando amadini ma. Kim da din imo, since she's going to get the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, kididah dami, it's considered like her property, and therefore the avodim don't have to be freed. Oidama, kim the shtamdi lele peri, since the husband gets the profit for the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, perhaps the halacha should view it kididah dami as if these avodim are his, and he's somebody from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore the avodim should be freed. The day by l'mando amadini moi. According to the mandama that the husband keeps the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, do we say kivin that din imoy kididei dami, it's considered like his? Or dilma kivin de loikonale legufe, since he actually doesn't really have full ownership over the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, kididei dami, it's considered like hers, and it's not considered like it was sold to Chutz La'aretz, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Amr Avuah, Shonali Rabbi Yochanan taught me, Eved Shiyotza Acher Rabbi L'Surya, if an Eved voluntarily followed his owner to Surya, or Machra Sham Rabbi, and his owner then sold him there. Yotz L'Cheres, he goes out free. Ask the Gemara, V'tan Reb Chi Ibetz Chusoy, that the Braisa says that the Eved loses his rights because he willfully left Eretz Yisrael, like Kasha. Kanchadas Rabbi L'Achzor, if when he left, the intention was to return to Eretz Yisrael, and then if he was sold, he goes free. Here, Ke'enshin Da'aber Achzor, when they didn't intend to come back to Eretz Yisrael, if he voluntarily followed the owner, and then he sold in Surya, he has no right to demand to be brought back. But Tanya, Yoytzei Eved Acher Rabbi L'Surya, the Braisa says that Eved has to follow his owner to Surya if he wants him to. Yoytzei, if you say that he has to leave Eretz Yisrael, L'Sagi L'Nefek, is there no alternative but for the sleeve to go, but to not have any kometzim, we can't force him to leave. Ella, Yotza Eved Acher Rabbi L'Surya, if the Eved left, followed his owner to Surya, or Machru Rabbi Sham, and his owner then sold him there, we have to look at the intention, as we just said. In that Rabbi L'Achzer, if when they left, the intention was to come back to Eretz Yisrael, Kaifer Nesoy, then we force the person who purchased this Eved Kanani to free him. In that Rabbi Lachzer, but if the intention of the owner when he came to Surya was not to return, and the Eved Kanani left knowing that, and Kaifer Nesoy, we can't force the person who bought this Eved Kanani to free him.